Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the show, guys. So happy to have you back. Before we get to today's book recommendations, I want to share a bit about Book of the Month. Book of the Month is a monthly subscription box where you pick a book that you want. I don't know about you, but I'm a control freak and I like to know what books I'm getting each month from a subscription box. And Book of the Month allows me to do that. I have a chance to pick one out of five books each month for $14.95. Any additional books, they cost $9.99. Some of the books I pick and read are Cross Her Heart, The Air You Breathe, The Great Alone, Goodbye Paris, and Still Lives. If you're interested in signing up for Book of the Month, go to whattoreadnextblog.com/bookofthemonth. Now let's get to today's show. Today's guest is indie prolific author J.D. Estrada. In this episode, we talk about being an indie author, lots of indie book recommendations, and it's a juicy conversation. So now let's just get to the show. Hi, J.D. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm good. So tell us who you are.
Well, right now, home shall always be Puerto Rico, but right now I am in Atlanta, or how people want to call it Hotlanta, but when you come from Puerto Rico, you know, something hotter than Puerto Rico, it takes a while. So right now in Georgia and enjoying life here, although not enjoying the distance from the beach.
I know you're not beach bound right where you are. Yeah. You're like landlocked.
Yeah. And we don't have any wave pools either. So I might have to submit some petitions to some water parks to see if they can help me out.
Yes, I know. Yeah, we have beaches in New York, but you have to pay for them, which I'm opposed to them by principle, because first of all, they're dirty beaches. And second of all, why do I have to pay $12 to go to the beach?
Yeah, it's a bit crazy. I did go, I think was it Jones Beach or Long Beach? I'm not sure if you have to pay for both, actually.
Yeah, you had to pay just to be in the beach, which I think
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I'm opposed in principle. I've been to a beach once, and I was like, never again. Not coming back, so.
Well, I did go to Coney Island, and that was really interesting because, you know, a bit more, and I would see, like, a Ninja Turtle hanging out because it was pretty toxic. Fun, but toxic.
Yeah, I know. Coney Island is an interesting beach. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So I heard about the Rockaways, which is actually a ferry ride away. I've been meaning to go this summer, but every summer for the weekends have been raining, so it hasn't been that good. But I heard that you don't have to pay for that one. So that's the one that you have to pay, which is amazing. But it's still not the same as Puerto Rican beach.
Hey, home shall always be home.
Yeah, that's for sure. So for our listeners, just an FYI, we've known each other since childhood. So we both grew up in Puerto Rico. We're transplants from other places. We now live in other places, but we've known each other for some time.
We're part of the diaspora. But yeah, we've known each other since we were teenagers.
Yeah, that is true.
So it's been a while.
It has been a while. So, well, let's dive into the conversation. So, you're a published author. So, what inspired you to start writing?
The necessity was the initial inspiration. When I was a teenager, those teen angst years, I always enjoy talking to teens and talking about the therapeutic benefits of writing. When I was a teen, well, just coping with stuff, poetry helped me immensely. Mm. And I kept doing that on and off and writing song lyrics. There was a punk song called Neolithic Man, which I never put music to, and I'm disappointed in myself because it was pretty funny and quirky and stupid. And, you know, if you're going to do a good punk song, I think those are requisites for that. I always enjoyed writing creatively. And then I studied 3 years of psychology until I figured out that if I stuck to psychology, I was going to need a psychologist. And I switched to advertising, marketing, and psychology as a minor. Because I've always been fascinated by it. So that led me towards advertising. And in advertising, that's when I really got to writing and blogging. And then one day I'm just hanging out, chilling in my room. I am watching TV. My feet are up on the desk. I'm listening to Bach, and I'm chatting with people, and a commercial for Underworld comes on. And I go, I can write something like that. And that's the genesis for my first novel. And I got that the crazy notion that I could write a novel, and I did. It took me 7 years, but I did.
That's amazing. And you've written more than a novel, so which is even amazing.
Well, I wrote the sequel to that, and apart from those two books, I have 10 other books, including poetry, a bilingual collection that has short stories, essays, and poetry in English and Spanish, and in the middle, there's actually a bilingual poem that rhymes, and that collection is called 2020. I write middle-grade fantasy short stories, and I actually released, this year I've released two nonfiction books, because why not?
I love it. What are the nonfiction books about?
One is called For Writing Out Loud. That's actually a collection of essays from my blog. And basically, I curated my blog for its first 4 years. I have like an obsession with the number four, so that felt right. I took like the best essays from there. That blog has over 500 entries already. So basically, I took them, I grouped everything into topics that made sense, and then I edited it so it's not just a copy-paste job. I thought it was going to be easier than what it was. It was actually a lot of work, but it was eye-opening in regards to what it takes to make a book out of something that's already existent. And the other book, coming from Puerto Rico, everyone has either a story or a reaction to Hurricane Maria from last year.
Yeah.
My, apart from all the stories and using Facebook, to tell people where they can find gas and food and connect people that need an electrician. The reaction from that was my need to do, something to have a positive impact. Mm-hmm. And it's for the longest time, I've closed my blog and the videos that I do on YouTube with the phrase peace, love, and maki rolls, which is what I wish upon people, which is peace, obviously,
yep.
Love, but self-explanatory, and maki rolls, meaning good food. And I love sushi, so.
I love it.
And that one is actually, it's peace, love, and maki rolls, a guide to creative kindness, because I think people limit themselves a lot in terms to how they can be kind. They think that it's just a one note thing and just, you know, they have no idea how many ways you can be kind. And it's just trying to delve into that. I talk about concepts like, emotional alchemy, which is, something that I try to put into practice in life. You know, when you're angry and you want to punch a wall, well, that all of that emotion is basically energy. And that energy, it can either fuel a large city for about 30 seconds or it can help you write a book. So for me, it helped me write a book.
I love it. I'm so inspired. I'm definitely going to pick it up. So thank awesome. You. So what would you tell someone who's thinking about writing? Who's been talking, they want to write, you want to be published or just put their work out there, but don't know where to begin. What would be the first place to start?
The first thing that you have to do is, a lot of people say that they're aspiring authors or aspiring writers. A first step is to drop the aspiring. If you're writing, you're a writer. And people are they self-deprecate to the point of limiting themselves. And rather than just believing, because people say, oh, you have to believe in yourself. Before that, you just have to let go and write. And write what you believe in, because people look at the market and, oh, this is selling now and I should write something like this, rather than what's inside of them. So if anyone that's starting out, first off, rather than just believe, drop the aspiring thing and just let yourself write. And who knows, if you enjoy what you write, odds are at least one other person on this planet is going to enjoy it. And odds are actually fairly high that more than one person is going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, tap into something that's really you. and don't write what's popular. Don't write what's selling. Don't even necessarily write what you like reading. It doesn't have to be that. If it helps you and that inspires you, it's like, oh, I want to write something like this. That's good. But rather than that, I think people have to they have to dig a little deeper to find, you know, everyone has a writer in them. And that's, people say, oh, I can't write because I'm not creative. And I think that's completely BS. And if you want to see how creative you are, be late for a meeting and let's see how creative you get. Mm. Everyone put in the right context or with the right type of incentive or motivation can and will be creative. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, they fear judgment, and that's another thing. Judgment is always going to be there, and there's always going to be haters, and there's always going to be trolls. You have to write something that you like and that you believe in, and just enjoy yourself. That would be the fourth thing. If you do all those four things, then you can look into, okay, how to publish, if you want to go indie, if you want to query. There are so many ways and so many routes nowadays that limiting yourself and saying that you can't do it, I think it would be a disservice to you and anyone you know and anyone that could know you.
Mm. Yeah, that's so true. Thank you for sharing. These are like so powerful.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to talk about your reading life. So when do you read?
When do I read? I read whenever I'm able to. Creativity doesn't have to limit itself to what you can create, but how you can get to the things that you like. Sometimes people hate waiting in line. Mm-hmm. And people hate going to a doctor's office and waiting. And people hate layovers and getting flight delays and whatnot. I can give you one example. I was actually coming from Cleveland back to Puerto Rico, and we had to do a transfer in O'Hare Airport in New Jersey. It was a 5 or 6 hour delay. Mm-hmm. And people were livid and they were depressed and they were angry. And I was laughing because I had a book by Carl Hayasin that's called Sick Puppy. I was just laughing so hard because any opportunity that I get to read, I'm going to take it. Yeah. If I have my preference, a warm bathtub with either a cold beer or a nice glass of wine and some bubbles. And I am like one of the happiest, you know, creatures on this earth.
Yeah, I love it. What do you love most about reading?
First, a lot of people are going to connect with actually, to play on that, to disconnect mm-hmm. from reality.
Yeah.
And also, I like all the truth that I find in fiction. Fiction is basically, it's, you know, a fabrication. It doesn't exist. It's something that spawned in someone's mind. They put it on paper and they shared it with the world. And somehow that has the power and taps into certain truths that otherwise we wouldn't understand. Mm-hmm. That aspect just blows my mind and really makes me happy. And, you know, that and just seeing how someone can weave a story and seeing how other people can weave a sentence or maybe a poem and a stanza. I truly love words, and apart from writing, I've written 12 books, but I write reviews, and I like referrals, and I write letters, and for birthdays, I write messages, and not just happy birthday on someone's wall. And I take the time to write to people because just words are fascinate me for so many reasons. But you know, just itself. The way that we create with words and the images and the emotions that we can tap into just using letters that are aligned in a specific way that create a rhythm that you read that connect with you on a level that unless you're a reader, no one else is going to understand.
Mm, yes. So what would you now doing the opposite side? What would you like your reading life to be different?
Oh, I'd love to be a really successful writer. so that I could have more time to read. Basically, if you know a bookworm, all they're going to want is the time to be able to read and to be able to read what they want, when they want, and how they want. For me, if one of my books makes it big, which is a possibility, and I'm going to throw it out there so that the fates say, you know what, he's not a bad guy, so let's give him some success.
Yeah.
If that happens, just to be able to take a day to read, even nowadays, when I have the chance to do that, it is so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Just to take three books, put them on the side, and just like plow through them. And read everything. I love reading everything. So just having more access to different things. One thing that I would really love to change is to learn a language so that I can, or learn more languages so that I can read text in their original language. One thing is to read something like Freud, to offer you a really drastic example, in English, and read him in German.
Yeah.
Or like Nietzsche. Nietzsche, reading him in German has to be a really profound experience.
Yeah.
Reading Dante in Italian and stuff like that. It's just so that you can get the real essence, because there's a lot lost in translation. And although English is a very worthy vehicle to translate, there's always something that's going to be lost.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much that can be. I've read books that are translated, and sometimes I'm like, I don't know if it's the author, or I don't know if it's a translation that gets lost. So
yeah.
I understand. I love it. And I love, you know, the want to be a professional reader someday. Just be able to read just whatever you want, for however long you want. I love that line.
You know, I also participate on BookTube and YouTube. There's a sub-community called BookTube. There's a lot of people that just share all their thoughts, and it's a lot of fun. In that community, there's a guy, he lives in Boston, a really nice guy. The term voracious reader is so ill-fitting, because he takes it to another level. His name is Steve Donahue, and he actually, he's a professional reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
So in any given week, he'll read 20 books in a week. It's psychotic.
That's a lot.
It's funny, because some people, you know, if you participate in BookTube, you see some people that have that machismo that I read so many books and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other people who hungrily and voraciously read, and they want more. And Steve is one of those, you know, he's from that ilk. He reads because he truly loves to read, and he also writes, and I haven't read him, but at least as a reader, and he doesn't say no to anything. He'll give anything a go. So it's really interesting to see people that not only can make a living, but their opinion is worth a lot, because in their brain, there is a library of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of books. And that's insane.
Yeah, I love the book community. For me, that's how I ended up reading. I used to read a lot growing up, but about 3 years ago, I discovered BookTube, and I ended up diving into YA and romance, and then, you know, adult fiction and stuff like that. Last year, I read 362 books. I went through dive into it. But for me, the book community was able to connect with other readers to get recommendations, but also to fangirl about the books and be like, oh my gosh, I love this book, you know, or this person loves this book, then definitely their reading tastes are aligned with my reading tastes, therefore I should read it, I should pick it up. So
yeah,
love it. All right, so we're going to the book recommendation phase, which I am so excited to hear from you. So what is your favorite genre?
I like reading as much variety as possible. That means that in a month, I will read poetry, I will read philosophy, psychology, science fiction, middle grade, a picture book, a comic, a graphic novel, anything. But I am always going to gravitate towards fantasy. Fantasy shall forever be my bread and butter. It'll be my jam. It'll be what tickles my pickle. It's just something that connects. And it's not something that's connected recently or in the last 10 years or in the last 20. 20 years, it's something that has always connected with me. I'm a really big fan, and I try to advocate in favor of creativity. And to see the worlds that people build, it's just, it is so, so gratifying and so refreshing to see something that you go, who thought of that? Mm-hmm. And to me, as a writer, I like reading fantasy because every time I read something that's fresh and new and different, even if it's something that's 20 or 30 years old that I just discovered, when you read something that is that magical, you know that that's going to live, you know, centuries in the future. And that is, you know, look at The Inferno by Dante Alighieri. It is based on religious speculation. Mm-hmm. But the narrative that it has, and the vision that it has about hell and about purgatory and about heaven and how that is constructed, it has survived. When the Divine Comedy was, if I'm not mistaken, in the 14th century.
Yeah.
So that's how long some really good fantasy can live on. And to me, that's always going to be the genre that I gravitate to.
I love it. What are your top three favorite books of all time?
That is such an unfair question.
You can do this year. So you don't have to do all time. You can do this year. What are your top three favorite books of 2018?
No. Okay, I'm going to do both. I'm going to do the books that connect. I'm going to do three books that connected with me intensely. I'm going to do maybe two honorable mentions so that my conscience lets me sleep at night.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you three books from this year that I've read from this year. Top three favorite books. I'm going to treat Harry Potter as one big, long, massive book.
Yes.
It's not seven. It's one book so that I can get more mentions in it. Actually, Harry Potter.
Which Harry Potter? So which one out of the seven books or the eighth book, which one will you pick will be your favorite out of all?
I'm always torn between Azkaban and Order of the Phoenix. Okay. I think Order of the Phoenix is a wonderful book, but it has such a sad ending and intense ending. I'm not even going to give spoilers because I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Azkaban,
you know, there's an arc within Azkaban, Goblet of Fire, and Order of the Phoenix. There is an arc. There is a parenthesis, if you will, in the series, dealing with a major character that really connected with me. But I always gravitate between those two. But I think Order of the Phoenix is just a more complete book, and it gave me all the feels, and it ripped my heart out. Which is a bad and a good thing.
Yeah.
But that entire series, it really connected with me when I was around 23. Mm-hmm. My dad passed away that year, and I had seen The Philosopher's Stone and Chamber of Secrets in theaters, but I'd never read the books. And 2003, I think that was the year for Azkaban. Not sure. No, or was it 2004? I'm not sure. Then 2004, I was in New York and I got the first book. Someone gave me the second book and I got the third book. And I read those three books in 2 days. So that just blew my mind. And, you know, this is a 20-year-old who I am a proud Ravenclaw, by the way. My Patronus is a Basset Hound. you know, it's just something that struck several chords in me reading Joanne. Made me believe that I could, two things. First, that I could be a writer. And second off, it gave me some sorely needed magic in my life. Mm. A second book that I'm going to mention is Dune, the Dune series, but specifically Dune and Dune Messiah. Those two books from Frank Herbert are massive for me because it is the most real sci-fi that I've ever read in my life. And I've read Asimov and the Foundation trilogy, but still, Dune connected with me for several other reasons. And I do tributes to Harry Potter and to Dune and to all the books that resonate with me in some way, shape, or form in my writing. And the last book or series that I'm going to mention is the Sandman series, which is a graphic novel series or comic book series by Neil Gaiman with several artists. In terms of creativity and what you can do with a literary piece, that, along with a couple of other graphic novels, really show what you can do with a comic. And Sandman is just mind-blowing, beautiful literature, and just so rich in detail, and it's so dreamy in the best ways. And two honorable mentions that I'm going to give are The Hobbit, because it's the book that I've read the most in my life, and I love it, and I shall always love it, and I shall actually love it, the book, not the movies. I shall actually love the book more than Lord of the Rings for as long as I live, simply because it connected with me when I was around 13. Okay. And the other honorable mention is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, because it's the first book that connected with me. And although it took me, I was 11, so it took me 15 years to taste Lokum, which is Turkish delight, it was totally worth it.
I love it. Now the books.
Okay.
Three favorite books from this year.
From this year, books that have... that have connected. I'll go from most recent to oldest.
Okay.
Most recent would be Corintor Niusi or Niunzi. I'm not sure on the name. It's by Aaron Michael Hall. It's a high fantasy. It's by a fellow indie author whom I met this year. I was going to buy it, and she gave me the book. And that book is... It's really lovely to read it because she's an indie author, and it's one of the most elegant books that I've read. And she is very talented, and apart from that, a really lovely human. Really lovely human. And just how robust the world that she describes, and it's very inclusive and has diversity without feeling like it's, oh, this has to be own voices, or it's not heavy-handed in its use of diversity. And I think that was really refreshing, and just, and again, a very elegant and mature book that I really, it's hung around my head for a bit, and I've already read, I don't know, like three or four books after that one, and that one's still sticking in my brain, and that's always a good sign. The second oldest book was the first book in the Zodiac series by Romina Garber. It's YA sci-fi, and it's very lovely. And it surprised me. It has a lot of elements that I think are super creative. I think I already have the second book, and I'm going to dive into it about six books into my TBR now. But the dialogue, it had its moments, but when it really struck a chord, it's quotable to the point of ripping the page and putting it on your wall. And the idea of the Zodiac universe and the 12 constellations of the Zodiac, it's just really, really, really interesting. And again, another really, really interesting and nice human. I've interacted a bit with Romina online as a reader, not as a fellow writer. But she's so nice, and she's someone that you can engage with. And again, it's YA, but I think it has philosophy at the core of that story. It has some things that might seem derivative, but I think that's just stuff that you can easily look past, because the high points in that series are just really, really impressive. And the last book I'm going to mention that I've read this year is actually the fourth book in the Discworld series, which is called Mort. From the authors that I love, Terry Pratchett has my utter and complete respect. I'm really disappointed that I've read him after he passed away. But as a writer, more than a storyteller, but as a writer, what you can do with a sentence from the beginning of a sentence to its punctuation. I think there is no finer writer than Terry Pratchett. He is highly quotable page after page after page. And Mort, I already love the first three books in the Discworld series, but Mort just hits you with so many feels, and the ending is so profound that you go like, oh, how good can this guy get? And I'm going to find out. And I know that he wrote 62 books, so that means that I have 58 to go.
Amazing. So you have an author to binge on. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. So who are your go-to authors? So which authors are in your autobuy?
My autobuys are Terry Pratchett. If I'm in the mood and there's a book in front of me, I'm going to buy it. And Neil Gaiman taps into stuff that I don't understand how he can connect on such deeply weird and disturbing levels, but it makes sense in such a magical way that every time I see that he's released something, I go, oh, I have to read that. And from him that I haven't read, I think there's a collaboration that he wrote that I haven't read. Maybe I'm a bit standoffish because it's a collaboration, but I read Good Omens with Terry Pratchett and it blew me away. So I think I'm just going to have to dive in.
I love it. What's your most anticipated new release for 2018 or 2019 that you're looking forward?
I normally don't read books as soon as they're released. Okay. I'm not a big fan of hype.
Okay.
But when you're an indie author, you keep an eye out for your friends and the books that they're going to release.
Yeah.
And I think from all of my friends, a fellow Puerto Rican indie author, Maricel Jimenez, she has a middle grade fantasy series called Pixie Piper. And she has two books out, and the first one she translated to Spanish. It's very lighthearted, very fun, very whimsical. It's a different take on fairies that I really enjoy. And her third book is going to come out next year. So I think that's the one that I'm going like, oh, I want that book in my collection, and I want her to dedicate it.
I love it. That's really nice. And I'm definitely going to check that one out. So is it in Spanish or is it in English?
That's going to, the first one is in English and Spanish. The second one is only in English, and she has an extra book out that's a collection of short stories in Spanish. But the last one is in English. A fellow indie author have interacted, and I actually met her at the Puerto Rico Comic Con, which I've gone to, and just good people. And it's always nice when you meet someone whose work you can connect with, because it's just a different dynamic that you can share with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. So now we gotta just talk about your disappointed reads. Do you have any of them?
This year has been up and down. I've had some not so great reads. Mm-hmm. And I think the one that disappointed me the most, for me to give a one star is rough. And it's, I always try to find some saving grace to give it a two star.
Yeah, I know.
A fellow author sent me a book and they're like, yeah, be kind in the review. And it was a really, really disappointing read. It took me over a year to read the book. It's less than 200 pages. It's called The Emerald Mystery. And I think that the main problem that book has is that it was written in Spanish and it was translated, and the translation is really rocky. I might check out the Spanish version just to get the real story, but at least the English one, it was rough. And I did the review and the author wasn't too happy. So it was disappointing on several levels. Their reaction, obviously you want to defend your work, and they weren't too keen or happy about my review. But I may be a nice guy, but I'm always going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't particularly enjoy my honesty. But yeah. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, I know. For me, it's tough to give a one-star review. It's, like, really tough. And usually I it might end up in the DNF pile, the do not finish pile. I tend to let the author know that it's not a positive review, so we can leave it at that. But for the most part, I have a couple of 2-star reviews. That tends to be, you know, my disappointing reads.
Yeah, that, you know, 2 stars happen. It's happened to me with books that people gift me for some reason. And after I read the book, I go like, why did you give me that book? And they're like, well, you know, I saw the book and I bought it. And I'm like, did you read what the book was about? And they go like, no. And I'm like, next time read the description and maybe.
Yeah, so true. I was like, you should read the synopsis at least to give me an idea if this is going to be a good book or not a good book, or is it a trope that you actually enjoy or you don't enjoy? Because it might be just a reading taste. It might not be your reading taste. Doesn't meet that requirement.
No, and I have a wide range of books that I enjoy reading, but some haven't been great.
I understand. It's one of the perils of being a reader, is that you may find yourself with disappointed reads.
Yeah.
So what book should my listeners pick up right now and add into their TBR?
Books that I recommend everyone to pick up. The first book I'm always going to say is The Little Prince.
Okay.
It's a short book. It's a simple to read book. It is profound. And every time you read it, you're going to get something different. And if you read it now and you read it in 5 years, you're going to get something different. But it invites people to be a bit kinder than what we're living nowadays and what you see on the news. And I think in this world and in these times, we need a bit more kindness. And I think that book, it's a quick read. It's available in I don't know how many languages. And it's something that when I read, and I read it as an adult, I read it when I was like 35. It for the first time, because I had seen the cartoons, but I had never read it. And when I read it, it was like, wow, why didn't I read this before? I think it's something really important that people have to pick up. A second series that I'm going to recommend, you can find it on a hardbound collection, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I think it's one of the funniest, smartest, most random reads that you can find. It's a lot of fun, and you have no idea what's going to happen. And the last one, Books from the Discworld by Terry Pratchett. If you're a writer and you want to know what you can do with a sentence, reading Terry Pratchett, I think, is going to be a benefit to you. Obviously, I could say people could pick up my books, but I'm not speaking as an author. I'm speaking as a reader.
I love it. And we'll be linking to your books in the show notes. So tell us where we can find you online.
Look for JD Estrada Writer. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Google+. Yes, people still use Google+. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on SoundCloud. I actually have some music tracks and some podcasts that I uploaded there. I'm slowly pulling out the podcasts and uploading on YouTube, because I want to free it up to create more music, because why not? And my blog is jdestradawriter.blogspot.com. If you want to search for it by name, it's called For Writing Out Loud. And if you write me, there's a 95% probability that I'm going to reply, and I'm leaving that 5% out because, you know, life happens.
I love it. Thank you so much for being in the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, JD, for a great list of book recommendations. For show notes and detailed list of book recommendations mentioned in this podcast, please go to whattoreadnextblog.com. If you'd like to support this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. It's the best way for this podcast to get discovered by a new bookish audience. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a fantastic day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.